Lord Brahma said. Because of their firm determination, that means the demons, because of the demons' firm determination to follow the instructions of Shukracharya, his disciples, the demons, are now unconcerned about the demigods. In fact, kings or others who have determined faith in the mercy of Brahmanas, cows, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and who always worship these three, are always strong in their position. From the instructions of Lord Brahma, it is understood that everyone should very faithfully worship the Brahmanas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the cows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. He is always very kind to cows and Brahmanas. Therefore, one who worships Govinda must satisfy him by worshipping the Brahmanas and the cows. If a government worships the Brahmanas, the cows, and Krishna, Govinda, it is never defeated anywhere. Otherwise, it must always be defeated and condemned everywhere. At the present moment, all over the world, governments have no respect for Brahmanas, cows, and Govinda. And consequently, there are chaotic conditions all over the world. In summary, although the demigods were very powerful in material opulence, the demons defeated them in battle because the demigods had behaved disrespectfully toward a Brahman, Brihaspati, who was their spiritual master. Om Angyantamanam Yasyam Yanjanajvaka Chakuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasani Gaurava Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. This verse discusses worshipping the Brahmanas and the cows and Govinda. So due to being short time, we wanted to speak about one aspect of this verse where it talks about the worshipping of the cows. This verse mentions four points. The verse in the purport probably brings out four points. One thing he says is that by worshipping cows and worshipping Brahmanas, then you satisfy Krishna. Govinda becomes happy when he sees that Brahmanas are worshipped and taken care of properly, and the cows are being protected and worshipped. Then Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, he becomes very satisfied and happy. And the second point Prabhupada makes is that if an individual engages in this way, if he becomes a devotee of Govinda, of Krishna, and he worships Govinda along with the cows and Brahmanas, then he becomes very strong. He becomes very strong and he becomes very successful. Becomes strong means spiritually strong by the blessings of Krishna and the Brahmanas. And he also becomes very successful materially because if he worships cows, cows are the source of wealth in society. And the third point he mentions is that if a government is based on these principles, a government is based on the principles of worshipping cows and Brahmanas, protecting cows, worshipping Brahmanas, and worshipping the Supreme Lord, that government will be unconquerable. No one can conquer that government. These are three points. Then the fourth point Prabhupada mentions is that if a society, if a group of people, like we've mentioned individually, if individually one person worships Krishna and the cows and the Brahmins, he becomes strong and he becomes successful, prosperous, wealthy. But if a whole group of people, a whole nation, if they worship the Brahmanas and Krishna and the cows, then what do they get? They get wealth, peace and prosperity. And that was perfectly exemplified in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago in the society of Krishna, when we had Nanda Maharaj and Vrishabhanu. They were all kings, Vaishya kings, but they kept these three principles. They worshiped Govinda, they lived with him, they fed him, they worshipped him, they bathed him, and they honored and respected all the Brahmanas. So their society was very wealthy. The Prabhupada said, just by doing these things, They were fantastically wealthy. From getting milk and ghee from the cows and grains, they were able to purchase jewels and silk and all gold and valuable metals and minerals and gems. Everything required they could purchase just by this honoring of the cows. And when the brahmanas are pleased and satisfied, they're happy and peaceful to do their yajna. And then some of the demigods are pleased with the results of yajna, and they give proper rain and proper weather and proper growth of the crops. So this was the situation 5,000 years ago. The whole of Vrindavan was centered around the cows. In fact, Krishna's whole planet, his whole place is called Goloka Vrindavan. The place where God lives is a place called the planet of the cows. They had a movie years ago called The Planet of the Apes. So this Earth planet, at least the way it is now, it's the planet of the apes. It's a planet of, you know, animalistic people that are attached to the lower modes of nature. It's not the planet of cows. Cows have a very bad lot here. This planet is definitely a planet of monkeys. Planet of the apes. And Charles Darwin's theory that we all came from the monkeys, it seems that everyone's going back to the monkeys also, by their behavior. But Krishna, he comes from a planet known as Goloka. And that is a place where go means cow. It's a planet full of cows, thousands and millions of cows. And when he comes into this world, he brings all those cows with him. All of his Suravi cows, they come from the spiritual world. And they moisten the earth planet with the milk from their udders. And they purify the soil by walking here and there. So we see that when Krishna was living here, there was one person that was very envious of the wealth of the Brijvasis. The Brijvasis were very wealthy by protecting the cows and honoring the Brahmins. Being envious, he was envious of their wealth. He thought, I must destroy these three things. The Brijvasis, Nanda Maharaj and Vrishabhanu, they become fantastically wealthy and prosperous and peaceful and successful. And he became envious. It's the nature of the conditioned soul. Kamesha, Gurudesha, this Ichadvesha Smutenga, this Dwanda Mohina Bharata. We have this envy within us. So if we see someone successful and prosperous and wealthy, then we want to bring them down or destroy them. So he analyzed very accurately because Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, and Kamsa, they were all great jnani yogis. They're very great jnani yogis, but they made some mistakes in their execution of jnana. So this is the problem with jnana or karma or yoga. It must be very perfectly followed, otherwise you can topple down to the lowest regions. Lose your family, lose your wealth, kingdom, body, everything. So though he was a great jnani, Kamsa, he calculated by his jnana that the Brijvasis are wealthy because of worshipping the cows, and because of worshipping the Brahmanas and worshipping Govinda. Therefore, I have to kill all these three. I have to destroy these three. I have to kill all the cows and kill all the Brahmanas and harass them. And I have to destroy Govinda. So therefore, he set out his various accomplices and associates, from Putana to Agasura, Bakasura, to Trinavarta, etc. All these great associates of Kamsa, they were sent to Vrindavan. And they started killing cows, and they started killing Brahmanas and harassing them. And they tried so many times to kill Krishna, but they were not successful. They're not successful. So ultimately, Kamsa, he got a reaction from this, from trying to harass the protection of Brahmanas and kill the cows and deny Krishna's existence and destroy Krishna's existence. Ultimately, his whole kingdom was destroyed. He and all of his associates perished under the will and power of the Lord. And we see an analogous situation now in the modern world. The modern governments, as Prabhupada aptly coined them, he said they are the Kamsa class of men. Prabhupada in the 10th canto in part 3, when he was discussing about these first few chapters of Bhagavatam in the Sanskrit commentaries, Prabhupada said the Kamsa class of men is very much harassed by the Krishna consciousness movement. So they are trying with all their endeavor and all their power and strength to annihilate this movement, obliterate this movement, because they see it as a threat to their hellish culture of sense gratification. So The Krishna consciousness movement is based on these three principles. And we are spreading around the world due to these three principles that's mentioned in this verse. And we are becoming wealthy, we are becoming prosperous, we are becoming successful and happy due to the three principles mentioned in this verse. What are those three principles? Those are our life's activities. We simply engage day and night in three things. Worshipping Govinda. Govinda, Archanam, Smaranam, everything, hearing, chanting about Govinda. And honoring and worshipping the Brahmanas. And protecting the cows. And the more we do these things, the more we experience that wealth and success and happiness that every individual is looking for. And this is, Bhagavatam is giving the formula for success. And so in our own small microcosmic way, our ISKCON movement is very successful in small localized regions based on these three principles. And the Kamsa class of men, like King Kamsa, they feel very envious, very threatened. Why are you people always smiling? Why are you people always happy? You seem to be well-fed, you seem to be nice, healthy, happy, peaceful. You must be destroyed. You must be annihilated. Send this Samvartika cloud, send this demon, that demon to cut this, send Kali into this movement, break this movement, stop these devotees. So in different countries, the whole governments go against the Hare Krishnas. Isn't it? I don't know nowadays what the situation is, but whole governments, in Germany, the whole government of Germany went against the Hare Krishnas during Prabhupada's time. And even in Bombay, the Bombay government was opposing the chanting of Hare Krishna. Much to Prabhupada's surprise. That was 30 years ago or so, 25 years ago. So in this way they try to stop us, because they see that when people listen to us and they adopt these perfect principles of happiness and success, they become happy and prosperous by these three things. The cow is our mother. There's seven mothers in the Vedic scriptures, and one of them is our original mother. Then the other is the cow, because the cow gives us milk. And the cow is to be honored and worshipped, just like our mother. It's not that your mother gives you milk when you're young, but then when your mother becomes old, she doesn't give you milk anymore. So now you should kill her, because your mother doesn't give milk anymore. She's old and you're old, it's not required, and she's not giving milk, so now you should kill her. But this is what they do in the Western countries. They take milk from the cow when she's young, and she becomes old, and they say, oh, she's old, she's not producing milk now, she can't give birth, so we should kill her. Such a demoniac mentality, killing their own mother. But we see that everyone, Krishna and all of his associates, they were very much absorbed in worshipping the cows and honoring the cows. Krishna himself, he's a coward boy. This verse has a word in it, Govinda. Vipra Govinda Gavishwaranam. That Krishna, his name is Govinda. Govinda means one who gives happiness. It's Go and Indra. It's Indite. Indite, this word Govinda, in the Vinda part comes from Indite. Indite means Indra, means the Lord. Sometimes the Western professors, they translate the word Govinda, the cow lord. The cow lord. The lord of cows. Well, it's actually correct. Because the word Indite means Lord of. So when Indra tried to destroy Vrindavan, destroy the cows, and harass and kill all the Brahmanas and kill Krishna, then ultimately he was defeated. He was defeated by Govardhan Hill and Giridharesham Krishna. Then he came and he offered so many prayers, and he says, you are Govinda. You are Govinda. So Krishna got that name from Indra. Because Indra could see, I am trying to kill the Brahmanas. I am trying to kill Krishna, Gopal, who's the protector of the cows. He had that name already, Gopal. Gopal, Palyate, or Palyadasi, or Palya means to protect. So Gopal is the protector of the cows. So Indra said, I tried to kill your cows, I tried to destroy your land of Vrindavan, I tried to kill the Brahmanas, and I tried to kill you, Gopal. But I see that you are the lord of all these four things. You are the controller and master of all these four things. And you are the controller and master of the entire universe. You are Jagatpate. You are the supreme. Way beyond Brahma, Shiva, what to speak of my puny self. I am nothing. Now I've been humiliated before you. Now I surrender unto you. and I want to glorify you with the name Govinda. So Indra, at that time of the Abhishek, or Airavata, poured the Ganges water, that's the elephant carrier of Indra, and Surabhi came from Vaikuntha and poured the celestial milk from her udders. And as Abhishek was performed on the banks of Govinda Kund, at that time Krishna got the name Govinda. So what does the name Govinda mean? Govinda means the Lord of the cows, who pleases the cows and satisfies the cows and protects them. And the Lord of the land, because Go also means land. What land? The Lord of Vrindavan. Vrindavan Chandra. Vrindavan Nath. We say Radha Vrindavan Nath. He's the Lord of Vrindavan. Or he's Radhanath, the Lord of Radharani. So Govinda means the Lord of the cows, and he's the Lord of the Brahmins. Because Go also means Brahmins. And Govardhan Hill, he's the Lord who satisfies Govardhan Hill, picks up Govardhan Hill. It's a very perfect name, Govinda. So Krishna himself, from the very early age, he was worshipping cows and protecting cows. In fact, it was a regular function throughout his pastime. Sometimes he would hold big celebrations to worship the cows. The first time Krishna engaged in worship of the cows was Gopastami. This is in Karti. It's the 8th day of the waning, I can't remember, waning moon or waxing moon. But it's Gopastami. This is when Krishna entered his Pogunda Leela. Pogunda Leela means between 6 and 10 years old. When Krishna turned the age of 6, then Nanda Maharaj said, "Hey Gopal, you're quite big and strong now. I think you're ready to take out the cows. You're big now. You can take out the cows. You can take the cows of Baladev and Subal and all the gopas, and you can wander far, far, far away. You can go wherever you like with the cows. And your older brother will be there, and some of the older boys like Govardhan, Stoka Krishna, Bajra Singh, they will look after you, and you can go for a long distance." So on that day, Gopastami in Karti is a day which Krishna was given charge of the cows at the age of 6 years old. But before he took the cows out, he did puja, go puja, because this is a very important day to worship Mother Cow. So then he got some turmeric and some oil, some different minerals, some mineral powders from Govardhan Hill, some special oils, and he mixed the haldi and the turmeric and everything together, made a nice paste, and then he put that all over the cows, put that nice oil and turmeric all over the cows, because it's very purifying and it's an honorable way. And then Krishna, he offered nice flower garlands. He put nice flower garlands around the cows, beautiful mala, pushpa mala. And then he tied a little band, a beautiful silk band around their heads. And he put a peacock feather on their heads. He decorated all the cows with a peacock feather. Then he took some pearl necklaces and he put pearl necklaces around the necks of the cows. And then he put gold necklaces and ruby necklaces, moti mala and hira mala, so many beautiful necklaces. And then he took some gold, and he took some gold and they made some gold powder and they mixed it with some lac, some kind of sticky substance. Then he painted the horns of the cows. All the horns of the cows were painted gold. Then he took the hoofs of the cows, the feet of the cows, and he mixed powder of silver with some lac, some sticky substance. He made a paste, and he painted all their hooves. Like ladies, you know, they paint their fingernails. You know, they paint colors on their fingernails and toenails. Their men, of course, in India, I see the men do it too. Usually the rickshaw wallahs have fingernails that are painted. I don't know why. It's my experience in Vrindavan. The rickshaw wallahs always have pink fingernails and red fingernails. I don't know what that's all about, but. So these ladies, these beautiful gomatas, they had beautiful hooves, silver-plated hooves and gold-plated horns. And then, on the backs of the cows, he put beautiful blankets, beautiful hand-embroidered blankets. They were like very opulent cloth made of silk. If it was summer, this was coming, Gopasami time is Karti, kind of mixture of silk and maybe jute and silk, and hand embroidery. On the edges of the cloth is very nice hand embroidery with gold jari. Very, very beautiful. Sometimes they were made of velvet, sometimes wool, depends on the season. So these beautiful blankets, these cloths, like a vase or a dress was on the back of the cows. And then Krishna did arti, full arti. First he offered some molasses, some gur mixed with mudi, and he fed the cow, so they'd be very peaceful. He fed them big like laddu, big mudi, gur laddu. And then he offered them some big handful of grass, green grass, and he offered arti. And after worshipping the cow, a beautiful full arti with karpur and deepam and agarbati and pushpa and pani, jal, everything, fan, did full arti. Then he circumambulated the cow 4 times. So as explained in Gotamiya Tantra, this one shastra, Gotamiya Tantra, that if one worships the cows, he can get the pleasure of Krishna. He can very easily get the pleasure of Krishna. Especially between the months of March to August. March, April, May, June, July, August. Between these months, if one worships the cow, how does he worship the cow? He gets a big handful of green grass, and he offers it to the mouth of the cow. He feeds the cow. And then he circumambulates the cow 4 times, parikama, gomata parikama. Then he gently scratches the cow, under her neck. And you know that how cows, some cows don't like, they're particular, they're little, don't touch me type. Some cows are don't touch me type of cows. You touch them and they're a little bit independent type. But some cows are completely vatsalya, there's so much affection. That as soon as you touch them, they're you can almost hear them. Of course, they're not making any sound, but you can hear their hearts. Their hearts are singing and vibrating. When you're scratching them. They're a little more subtle than that. Cows are very sattvic, self-controlled. But their eyes are smiling, and you can understand they're relishing that service rendered. So this greatly, greatly pleases the cow, these three things. And Krishna is very pleased with anyone who does this activity. He himself did it, as I mentioned, on the day of Gopastami. So on this particular day of Gopastami, in the middle of Kartik, or beginning of Kartik, it was a very, very special day. Because this is the only day that Srimati Radharani ever got a chance to join Krishna's Gocharan Leela. It's the only time that Radharani ever got a chance to go out with Krishna when he goes out with the coward boys to go with the cows. Because usually at this time in the morning at Puravan Leela, the Krishna goes out with the cows between 8:30 in the morning, around this time, 8:30 in the morning, 9 o'clock, he starts going out with the cows to Kamyavan or to Govardhan, generally to Govardhan and areas around Govardhan. And then the gopis, they're waiting. They're not going then. The gopis are separated. Just the cowherd boys are going with Krishna and the cows. But on this particular day, there's a special pastime happening. Krishna went out with the cowherd boys. And he took all the cows out. And they went out to the pasture. They were near Govardhan. In one nice area near Parsoli. Parsoli Gram. It's on the kind of tail end of Govardhan. And Krishna was sitting there with Subal, alone in one kunj. And he was confiding in him. He said, Subal, I feel very unhappy. I feel very distressed and full of anguish. I feel intense separation in my heart. This somehow the day, it doesn't feel like the sun is even shining in the sky. My heart feels completely dark. And it feels like the darkest night. I see gloom in every direction. And only unhappiness is pervading this entire pasture ground. So when Subal Sakha heard this, he said, why do you feel like this? Why? He said, I want to meet with Radharani. I'm feeling so much separation from Radharani. I want to meet her. My life seems empty and worthless without her. Radha Virahiname. Radha Virahiname. Or we say Govinda Virahiname. So Radharani's Krishna's in this mood of Radha Virahiname, feeling great separation. So then Subal said, I'll try to do something. Then Subal Sakha is one of Krishna's very dear and great friends. He's a Priyanarma Sakha. He's a very intimate servant of Krishna. And Sakhi Ras, and he also assists Krishna and helps his pastimes in Madhurya Ras. For meeting with the gopis and carrying messages. He's a very intimate associate of Krishna. And The surprising thing is that Subal, his complexion is golden, gorangi. He has a golden body. And he's very, very attractive. Just like you see some boys, they look very attractive. They look almost effeminate. They look like almost like girls. He was very, very attractive. Very, very attractive, and he has the same complexion as Radha. So Subal, on this day of Upasthami, he went to Yavat. Yavat is where Radharani lives with her so-called husband, Abhimanyu, and her mother-in-law, Jatila, and her sister-in-law, Kutila. So when he arrived there, Jatila was somewhat surprised. She was out in the yard, and she was making these patties. You know, you gather the gopur, and you mix some straw inside, and then you mix it a certain way, and put it on the wall, or you make a little house, and then you stack them up and make a house, starting on the ground, and then you end up making a whole house of gopur bhavan. Like these little gopur bhavans all over Braj and Govardhan Hill. So she was surprised when she saw Subal. She said, "Hey, Subal, what do you want?" And he said, "Oh, I lost one of my calves, one of my pet calves. He wandered away, and I'm just searching for him over here." And she said, "Okay, go ahead, you go look for him." So then she went back to her work. And as soon as he looked like this, and Subal snuck into the house, he immediately entered into the house of Radharani. And then he went right into Radharani's room, and she was startled. "Subal, what are you doing?" And Subal said, "Oh, Krishna is feeling great separation. He's so much full of anguish. And he's so unhappy. He's just crying and crying. And he's missing you so much. Now, listen, I have a plan. See, we'll change clothes. You put on my clothes. You wear my gopavesh, my cowherd boy clothes, and I'll wear your clothes," because she looks just like him. "And then you can go meet Krishna and Govardhan and Nikunj, and then satisfy him and associate with him and serve him nicely and bring him happiness." So Radhika was very happy. She was very overjoyed. Great. So then she changes into Subal's clothes, and then she said, "Well, what about, I mean, we look the same, our faces look the same, and we're very, you know, same color, so I put my veil, my uttariya, over my face, but then what about up here? There's a little difference up there." And so then Subal said, "No problem. Simply you take my chadar. You take my chadar and you wrap my chadar around you like this. And when you go by Jatila, when you see her mother-in-law, you just tell her, 'Oh, Jatila, I found my calf. I'm keeping him under my chadar. He's under my chadar. I found my calf. He's under my chadar.' So that way she won't suspect anything or wonder why, you know, any difference is there." So then, of course, Radharani did that, and she went, immediately left that place in Javad, and she went to Govardhan, and she met Krishna. But Radharani, one of her qualities is that she's very tricky. He's very, very clever and very witty, like we have Vidagdha Madhav. He's very witty, very clever. So Radharani is also Vidagdhi Radhika. She's very witty, very clever. So she wanted to play a trick on Krishna. She wanted to test his love. So she came there and she sat next to Krishna and she said, "Oh, Kanu, I had no luck. And Radharani couldn't get out of her house." And then Krishna said, "Oh, Subal, what? You failed in your mission." And then Subal said, then Radharani, disguising as Subal, said, "No, that's okay. I met Chandravali on the way. I met Chandravali on the way, and she's very eager to meet with you. I can take you to her right now. She's very eager to meet with you and serve you." And then Krishna cried out, "Oh, Subal, be quiet. I only want Radharani. I only want Radharani. I don't want anyone else but Radharani. Don't you understand? Radharani is everything to me. She's the beginning, the middle, the end of my life. She's my whole very existence. Without her, without thinking of her, I can't breathe. Without seeing her, I can't eat. Don't you understand? I don't want anyone else." So as Krishna was speaking like this, he became filled with deep love for Radharani and some small premashru. The small tears started to drip from his cheeks. When Radharani saw that, she was disguised as Subal, she immediately put her arm around and said, "Krishna," and spoke in her own voice. And then he says, I'm your beloved. I'm your Priyaji. Your Priyaji has come." She said, "Your Priyaji has come. I'm not Subal." And then Krishna looked and smiled, became very happy. So this pastime has happened on Gopastami. So in Vrindavan, to celebrate this eternal pastime of the Lord, and Kartik, all the different Radharani deities in Vrindavan, they dress up in Subal Vesh. It's called Subal Saka, or Subal Vesh. And you get to see the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani on that day. I believe generally what we do on this day also, we show Radharani's feet on this day. In Vrindavan, so this is nice, so if you want to get two darshans of Radharani's lotus feet, you come to Vrindavan for Radhastami. Like, I see some devotees here that do that, like Radhacharan and different devotees, they end up in Vrindavan and Radhastami sometimes. They take darshan of Radharani's feet, and then they come back and do their service here in Mayapur, and then Kartik comes, and then they get again darshan, because they're so thirsty to have that darshan of Radhacharan. Of course it makes sense, because he's Radhacharan. He's Radhacharan Das, is it right? So he's very eager to see and to serve and remember those lotus feet and the servants of those lotus feet, his Gurudev.